tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. We see that that covetousness is condemned all through the Word of God. Seeing that it's condemned by what it's mentioned with throughout the Bible, very wicked matters that it's mentioned with. We began last week to see that the danger of covetousness. All sin, of course, is dangerous, more dangerous than you and I really realize. But covetousness is an extremely dangerous sin. It, like all sin, leaves a path of destruction. God warned Israel of its dangers. Jesus Christ, there in Luke chapter 12, said, "Beware," that is, be on guard, be careful, be caution, be cautious of covetousness. And he states a reason for or because a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesseth. And sadly, many have bought that lie that man's life does consist of earthly things. And to buy into that, of course, is going to bring widespread destruction. We saw last week also that covetousness is dangerous because it always leads to further disobedience. And once again, that's true of all sin. Sin produces sin. It tends to grow. We looked at examples of men and women who were covetous, and that, of course, led to further disobedience. It's based in a wrong value system, and it leads to more wrong values. It's based in wrong loyalties, leads to more wrong loyalties, wrong concerns, wrong pursuits, wrong priorities. It's dangerous because it can bring much family trouble. Proverbs 15 and verse 27 warns us of the trouble that covetousness can bring into a home, brings difficulties that one would not have were they not covetous. It brings worries that one would not have were they not covetous. Brings distress and strife and all kinds of agitation and division, grief, and on we could go, but covetousness brings trouble. And we closed last Sunday with covetousness leads to disappointment. Proverbs 23:5, the whole book of Ecclesiastes teaches that truth, that covetousness leads to disappointment. You're sure to be disappointed if you're covetous. Covetousness also is dangerous because it leads to error and it leads to sorrow. Now, of course, to be covetous is to err, but it causes one to make wrong decisions, causes one to make wrong judgments, and it leads to error. Many have fallen from truth through covetousness. Many have fallen from obedience through the sin of covetousness. The sad thing about covetousness is most who are covetous don't realize it and would strongly deny that they're covetous. And you can't deal with a sin if you're not even aware of it. And that's one of the problems with covetousness. Notice in 1 Timothy 6, again, covetousness leads to error and sorrow. In verses 9 and 10, we'll just read these verses and then we'll go back over them. But they that will be rich, as we've shown already, that's an attitude. That's a spirit. It's not condemning the rich. It's condemning the desire to be rich, because that desire is covetousness. They that will be rich fall into, it's not that they might, they fall into temptation and a snare. Now, if you fall into it, you do so unawares, unexpected, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, which describes they that will be rich, is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So notice what this covetous spirit results in. Results in a falling into temptation. Again, you don't purposely fall. To fall is not something you expect. So these things come upon this individual in a surprising way, in an unexpected way. They fall into temptation. It is, they bring testings into their life that would not be there were it not for covetousness. It's bad enough to fall into temptation. Again, we're to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. And yet there are some who just, by their life, bring temptation, bring testings into their lives. Many people would not have the test that they have if they just did what was right to begin with. So they fall into temptation, but also a snare. That's a trap. They find themselves in a trap. They get in this cycle. And once you get in a cycle, it's not that you can't get out of it, but it is difficult. They fall into a temptation, they fall into a trap. And this leads to something. Into many, that is varied, foolish. Foolish is unwise, be that which is contrary to what the Bible tells us to do. They fall into many foolish and hurtful, injurious, that which brings injury. So they brought temptation into their lives. They are ensnared. They have a variety of unwise and that which will bring them harm, lust, or desires. And it says, which drown, that is, overflows, suffocates, kills. So, there's temptation, there's a trap. They have many unwise and hurtful desires, and these desires that they have, all going back to covetousness, drown them. So they kill themselves spiritually. They drown men in destruction. That is ruin. Ruin. And perdition, which is a curse. They destroy their lives, and they bring a curse upon their lives. What's sad is most of the time they've brought a curse into their children's life because their children will grow up and do the same thing. For, or because, this is why all this happens, the love of money.
Covetousness is the root. It's the source of all evil. So covetousness is a root sin. Now again, all sins are dangerous, but root sins are even more dangerous because they produce what they produce. So the love of money, this covetousness, is the root, the source of all evil, which would refer back to money, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They have erred from the faith. Now, it doesn't say that all who are covetous have erred from the faith. That's not what it says. It says some. After some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. But all fall into a trap and a snare, and unwise, foolish, and hurtful lust, desires. And it's these unwise desires that keep the temptations coming, because they make wrong decisions after wrong decision. Every wrong decision brings another temptation, causes the chains to just be tighter. They err from the faith, that is, they go aside from the truth. So doing, they pierce. Now this speaks of something painful. To pierce is to puncture. And they pierce and pierced, punctured themselves. Now how foolish is it to puncture ourselves? I mean, that's foolish. They pierce themselves through. I mean, this isn't just the Pope. They puncture through with many sorrows, as they bring sorrows into their lives. Providence can bring sorrows into our lives. We're all aware of that. Death, sickness. Sorrows can bring, providence can bring sorrows into our life, does. But people bring sorrows into their lives also, unnecessarily, by doing what's wrong, by not obeying the scriptures, by having a spirit of covetousness. So covetousness is dangerous because it can cause one to err from the faith, and it's dangerous because of what we just read here in these two verses. It is also dangerous because it will lead to one, which goes along erring from the faith, to part with heavenly things for earthly things. We see this in several places in the scriptures. We'll use just three examples. Notice in Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15 and verse 13, you have the prodigal son. He took his journey and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me and is departed unto Thessalonica. Hebrews 12 verse 16 says that Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So in those three examples, the prodigal son, Demas, and an Old Testament example, Esau. In each of these verses, Luke 15, verse 13, 2 Timothy 4:10, Hebrews 12:16. They each did something. They each committed an act. The prodigal son took his journey into a far country. Demas forsook Paul and departed unto Thessalonica. And Esau sold his birthright. Now, in each one of those cases, there was a root problem that led to the choice that each one of these three individuals made. In Luke 15 and verse 12, the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me, give me that which I deserve, the portion of goods that falleth unto me." There's covetousness there. His desire was for the material. When it comes to Demas, "Demas hath forsaken me," and then notice what it says, "having loved this present world." 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." That is the reason that Demas left. That's the reason. Now people, and I'm sure perhaps Demas also, they give all kinds of reasons, and they're lying. They give all kinds of reasons why they leave. But they never, most do not get to the root problem why they leave. I've yet to have someone say to me, "I'm leaving because I'm covetous." They're not that honest. They come up with something else. And we must not buy it. So, he left because he loved the world. We see that Esau sold his birthright, Hebrews 12 tells us, because he was a profane person. He was a profane person. The reason Esau did what he did was he had a character problem. He was a profane person. What that means is he made light of spiritual things. He undervalued spiritual matters. And he overvalued temporal matters. And any time we undervalue spiritual matters and overvalue temporal matters, and the two go hand in hand, you are going to make a foolish decision. And it will be a decision that will bring sorrow into your life. So Esau was a profane person. As a result of such, he was willing to part with the blessings of the birthright in favor of the temporal. Now the record of this, of course, is Genesis 25, verses 29 through 34. And Esau, the day he made that choice, no doubt thought that if he didn't make the choice, he was going to die. But you see, once again, that shows a wrong judgment. And how many times people make foolish choices because of something they think will happen if they don't make this decision, this choice. And that was Esau. He thought, well, if I don't trade this, if I don't sell this birthright, trade it, barter it, I'm going to die. So he had a wrong judgment, which led to a foolish decision. Caused him to value the temporal more than the spiritual. Anytime we, even if it's just for a second, we put more value on the temporal than we do the spiritual, our judgment is all wrong. We're mistaken. Our judgment is wrong. And if our judgment is wrong, then our decision is going to be wrong as well. Which brings us back to 1 Timothy again. Foolish, hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So covetousness is dangerous because it causes one to choose temporal things over spiritual things. It's amazing, and we all do it. We have a gift, if you will, a knack of reasoning why we do things, sinful things. And again, the covetous person can convince themselves that this may not be necessary in your life, but it's necessary in my life. I have to do this. I don't have any choice. Now, I've had many people tell me, "Brother Dan, you don't understand. I don't have any choice." Well, yes, you do. Your choice is obey God. But they put themselves in a position where they honestly believe that. That's part of that temptation. That's part of that snare, that trap that they've fallen into. And you're in a lot of trouble when you think that your situation has come down to this. You just don't have any choice. You got to do what's wrong. That you're in a trap that will ruin your life and more than likely ruin your family's life as well. So covetousness is dangerous because it causes us to err. It is dangerous because it puts us at enmity with God. It puts us at enmity with God. Notice Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Whose end is destruction. He's talking about the enemies of the cross of Christ, verse 18. Whose end is destruction. Then he goes on to describe them. Whose God is their belly. That is, their desires are that which satisfies them, satisfies their cravings. Their God is their belly. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That is, their way of thinking follows the pattern of the earthly. Their outlook follows the pattern of the earthly. Their viewpoint follows the pattern of the earthly. And they are enemies of Christ. Covetousness puts us at enmity with God. Cause us to do things that are displeasing to the Lord. In closing, notice James chapter 4. Again, putting us at enmity with the Lord. James 4 in verse 4. He said in verse 3, and he's talking here in verse 2, ye lust and have not, cause them not to pray. And then when they did pray, they asked amiss, prayed for the wrong things. Covetous person will pray for the wrong things. In verse 4, he kind of gives a summary. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not, and here's the root of the problem, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Puts us at enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So covetousness is dangerous on many, many different levels. So the obvious thing that the 10th command forbids, of course, is covetousness. That's so very obvious. But it also condemns some other things, and we'll look at that next week. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of life that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you, Lord, for saving our souls and putting the desire in our hearts to be in your house. And we thank you for each one that is here today. And we pray that you would help us to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. May we go from here more in love with you and closer to you. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to be what we ought to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.